Today on Real Radio.
God does not use a pagan calendar or a Gregorian calendar. We use a Greek calendar. God uses a 360-day calendar. From Genesis to Revelation, 360 days, not 365. So when you say, when you and I say, what's 3.5 years, we count on a 365-day calendar, not God. When God says, I'll tell you what 3 years is or 7 years, it's always a 360-day calendar. So 3.5 years on a biblical calendar is 1,260 days or 42 months. Well, what's interesting about that is when you go and study the Bible from Old Testament to New Testament, there is a wonderful link, a key to understanding Bible prophecy.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. We're taking a look at chapter 11, a passage that is quite arguably among the most complex of all Scripture, Old or New Testament. It's a study called God's Final Witness to the World. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Here we see in Revelation 11, human government under its sway and deception and control by this man, the Antichrist. Second point is in verses 3. God's final witness to the world, found in verse 3, our second point is a very special announcement to all of mankind. He says in the Bible that he will give power to my two witnesses. Will you circle this, these two witnesses? Interesting people, these two guys are. And they will prophesy 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years, people. Or 42 months. Interesting. 3.5 years, 1,260 days, and 42 months. They're all the same time frame. Exactly the same time frame in the Bible. So we'll look at this more because it's kind of a code word for the Bible student. Very interesting. These guys will prophesy for 1,260 days. Look what they're wearing, everyone. Armani? No. Clothed in sackcloth. This is wild. You got to see people. John's just talking about his day. Well, you know what? You study it. The actual wording. And these guys are going to show up somehow in the world. Well, not somehow in the world. God will place them in the world. The location will be Jerusalem. And they're going to be wearing sackcloth. Will they be wearing a tie? Apparently not. Sackcloth. You know what sackcloth is? It's like the closest thing we can come to is like a gunny sack or burlap. You don't see burlap much anymore, but if you see it somewhere, put it on your skin and rub it. Rub it for a little bit. Watch what happens. After you remove that from your skin, you will itch and itch and itch like you can't believe. Well, this sackcloth is the same kind of sackcloth that Isaiah wore, same kind of sackcloth that John the Baptist wore. It's referred to as camel's skin. The fur, though, listen, when God's prophets would prophesy, instead of wearing the comfortable woolly part against your skin, they would wear it the opposite way and put the rough skin against their skin so that they would never be, listen, the prophet of God would never be comfortable in his ministry. He would never be just used to it. That the ministry was something that reminded him constantly that it was God's business. It was God's word. And so these prophets are draped and clothed in this sackcloth apparel. But these two special evangelists, who are these people? Everybody wants to know who are these people. I wouldn't spend much time on it because we don't know who they are. But everybody wants to ask, who are these people? Well, before we look at that, consider these few things. These special witnesses give a special announcement to mankind. Look at verse 3, says, I will give power to my witnesses. I want you to jot this down. This special announcement comes by the fact that they speak as the mouthpiece of God. These are not some sort of shysters. These are not some artists. These are not some pretenders. These are prophets of God that speak in the name of God, and they are dedicated to the word of God. They say it no matter what. They have no concern for their own safety. They speak God's word. And God has two specific evangelists appointed. What is their possible identity? Everybody wants to know. As we now begin to consider that, keep these few things in mind. Whoever or whatever their identity is, note this. Their identity tells us that they belong to God. Christian, you belong to God. You are his property. He loves you and bought you with a price. Isn't that what the Bible says? That he paid that price with his own blood. So stop worrying. You belong to him. He says, I will give. Bible student, mark it down. Interestingly enough, I will give? Wait, who's speaking? The messenger, the angel that was speaking to John. This is another reason why many scholars believe that it's none other than Jesus Christ himself speaking to John. He says, I will give my witnesses this power. So we know this, that because they belong to God, they have what is given to them. They belong to God. Number two, they're powered by God. He says, I will give them power. Dunamis is the word. Dynamite. It's where we get the word dynamite from, dunamis, an explosive power. A power that is life-changing, world-changing. God says, they belong to me. I give them power. Number three, and they'll both, he says, live and die before me. For it says, I will give them power to my, what are they called? Witnesses. The word in Greek is martyrs. To my martyrs. That's the word martus. We use the English word witness. He said, well, wait a minute, Pastor. The Bible says I'm supposed to be a witness. That's true. And that jives perfectly. That doesn't mean you're supposed to go out and kill yourself for God. The word martyr also means that you live for God. For example, you shall be witnesses of mine, both here in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Are you with me? That means that you no longer live for your life, you live for his life. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, tells us that we need to present ourselves a, what kind of sacrifice? Living sacrifice. Who wants a dead sacrifice? God doesn't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. And by doing so, we are martyrs of the Lord in that we live for him. We have joy. We're telling people, you know what? You need to accept the Lord. You need to have forgiveness and you go to heaven. It's wonderful. But these witnesses are called to minister in a way that is also speaking of a legal setting. Note this, if you would. These two witnesses have great significance because the very title implies that there's a courtroom setting unveiled before us. These are two witnesses, and they bear witness, and they stand there, and they say the truth of God against an unbelieving world. And look, nobody likes to hear that, and in fact, these men in time will be killed. But not until they're done. But a courtroom is being set and the world is being judged. Deuteronomy chapter 19 tells us that before the Lord, every word of God and every case will be established by two or more witnesses. By the way, it's based upon Deuteronomy chapter 19 that our very judicial system is established here in America about witnesses. The Roman government even operated that way, that in the audience of multiple witnesses, a man was condemned or a man was justified. But they're empowered by God. That is God the Holy Spirit. They live and die for God because they are witnesses of God. But the amazing thing is that they are God's tools whereby there's an announcement of warning given to the world that judgment is coming. Note this, that these announcements are made by these great witnesses and they're commanded of God to prophesy. Verse 3 says, and they prophesied 1,260 days. 1,260 days. Now look, if you start doing the math, you're going to come up short 5 days. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation does not use a 365-day calendar. Never has, it never will. God does not use a pagan calendar or a Gregorian calendar. We use a Greek calendar. God uses a 360-day calendar. From Genesis to Revelation, 360 days, not 365. So when you say, when you and I say, what's 3.5 years, we count on a 365-day calendar, not God. When God says, I'll tell you what 3 years is or 7 years, it's always a 360-day calendar. So 3.5 years on a biblical calendar is 1,260 days or 42 months. Well, what's interesting about that is when you go and study the Bible from Old Testament to New Testament, there is a wonderful link, a key to understanding Bible prophecy. It will tell you about events. Now, listen to me. It says blatantly 1,260 days, 42 months, or 3.5 years, or, listen, times a time and a half. That's how it reads in English. You say, what is that? Times, that's two in Hebrew. Time, that's one. And a half, what do you think a half is? A half. It's exactly as you find it. Two plus one plus a half is how much? 3.5. From Genesis to Revelation, this is a prophetic key to understanding the Bible. That's why when you pick up the Bible, and if you're not studying like we are this morning, you don't get it. Well, what's this? It demands that you and I study the Old Testament. I had somebody who was visiting last week come out and say, you know what? We're visiting. And that was an hour-long Bible study. And she was kind of looking confused about it. That was an hour-long Bible study. Well, I know. And anyway, I had a chance to talk to her, and she said, where she comes from, it goes about 20 to 30 minutes, and it's just kind of fun stuff about 12 steps to be happy. Well, that's cool, but personally, I know that if we wanted to really pack this place out, I would introduce next week our series and seminar on 12 steps to financial freedom. This place would be packed. And the week after that, 10 steps to how you can have a successful marriage. There's a time for those teachings. And on coming Sunday nights, we'll get into things like that. You say, well, why don't you do it on Sunday morning? Because you know what? On Sunday morning, since we were in the home, it's always been a day to study the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. You say, well, not everybody will come and listen. I don't care. Together, we as a church, we want to go through the Bible together. We want to study. Well, I don't want to know about 42 months. How does 42 months help me? Okay, this way. What God says, He does. You say, well, again, how does that help me? When God says, I love you, you can bank on it just like He says it's going to be 42 months. When God says 42 months, time, times and a half, 3.5 years, 1,260 days, He means 1,260 days. And when He says, if you come to me, I will never turn you away. You don't sit there and go, well, I wonder what He meant by that. You'll know, because what God says to the nth degree, He keeps. That's why the Holy Spirit saw fit to write down 1,260 days. There's a deep reason why. For us who are believers, that our faith might go, yeah, God who keeps His promises. Yes. And to those who don't know God, they can pull up to the lab and turn on the microscope and look at it and say, well, I'll be. God keeps His word. I need to believe in Him. I love it. So listen, they prophesy at God's command. 1,260 days. The book of Revelation, chapter 12, 14 says, but the woman, that is Israel, we shall see in future studies, was given two wings of a great eagle that she should escape and fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and a half, from the presence of Satan. Interesting. You already know what that is now, don't you? How long is that? 3.5 years. I can't wait to get to these other chapters too. Oh, that's going to be fun. Daniel 7:25, Daniel 7:25, we'll go back 3,500 years. The Antichrist shall speak pompous or prideful words against the Most High God. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and seasons. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times and a half a time. The Antichrist will wreak havoc upon the believers during the last 3.5 year period of the tribulation period. How do we know the last 3.5 years? Time, times and a half. 1,260 days, 42 months. Daniel 9:27. Then the Antichrist shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. But in the middle of that week, what's in the middle of 7 years? 42 months. What's that called? Time, times and a half. What else is that called? 1,260 days. Also known as 3.5 years. And he shall break that covenant and bring an end to the sacrifices and the offerings. You can't have sacrifices and offerings in Israel unless you have a temple. Isn't that fun? Are you guys with me? It's so quiet. Are you okay? Are you hurting? Yeah, it's almost over. I'm almost at. In fact, I'm out of time. But we got to do this, at least down to verse 6. Let's go quick. God's final witness to the world is a very somber power over the supernatural. Look at verse 4. These two olive trees and the two lampstands. What? Okay, Jack, I'm lost now. These guys are two olive trees and two lampstands? I don't get it. I have to admit, nobody would get it unless you read your Old Testament. The two olive trees, you won't find those guys until you read the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah, there are two witnesses of God who are called the anointed ones that will be witnesses of God who stand before the God of the whole earth to be witnesses, and they are referred to as the two anointed ones, two olive trees. Yeah, so if I read the Old Testament, the book of Revelation makes sense. That's right. And they will have a ministry. It is of supernatural origin, people. They will preach and do things that is of a divine nature. But Jack, who are these guys? Okay, should we wait till next week maybe? I'm going to take that one guy who's excited to find out, and I'm going to continue. Thank you, brother. The Lord be upon you and anoint you in every way. Okay, first view is this. Who are these guys? Who are these two olive trees, olive branches? Who are these guys? Who are these two witnesses? Okay, first view. First view is that they're Moses and Elijah. Okay, that's a very popular view. Divinely sent back from heaven to earth. Why? Number one, Moses referred to as the lawgiver. The ministry during the tribulation period is predominantly to the Jewish nation. They honor Moses, right? Okay. What else? When Moses died, anybody remember what happened? Moses died, and it said that God buried him. Nobody knows where Moses is buried. If somebody says, oh, he wrote a book, and I'm going to tell you where Moses was buried, nobody knows. God says nobody knows. But this is what we do know about Moses' body. The Bible says that when Moses died, Satan tried to commandeer the dead body of Moses. What would Satan want with the dead body of Moses? It says that Michael the archangel, in the book of Jude, that Michael the archangel fought with Satan over this and disputed over the body of Moses. That's weird. Why? Now, some scholars say because if Satan could have inhabited this carcass of Moses, he could have come back to the people of Israel and given false doctrine to them. Yeah, that's a stretch, though, you know? But it's a very popular view. Moses and Elijah. Could be, but there's a second view, that those are just two witnesses ordained by God who are of the Jewish people, who are saved at that time during the tribulation period, and they're specially anointed prophets of God. That could be. That they're not Moses or Elijah or anybody else. They're just two anointed witnesses. That could be. The Bible doesn't give us our names exactly. The third view is interesting. By the way, this is the correct view if you want to write it down. Third view. The Bible tells us over and over again from Old Testament to New Testament that Elijah must come before the great day of the Lord. Elijah must come back. Now, I don't know if you've ever read that in Scripture or not. What's unique about Elijah? Did Elijah ever die? He never died. He was caught up into a chariot in the whirlwind of God and taken to heaven. Elijah. Did Moses die? Yep, Moses died. Elijah's ministry was directly a ministry of the prophets. If you go to Israel today and you ask them, who is the greatest of all your prophets? They won't hesitate for a second to tell you, Elijah, the great prophet. They honor him tremendously to this hour. Jesus said, Elijah must come back before I return. That's a cue, by the way, that excludes the rapture from the second coming. Elijah has to come back to earth before the second coming. Elijah does not have to come back before the rapture. So Elijah's coming back. So we know one of the guys, Elijah, according to Old and New Testament. Well, who's the other guy? I'll give you a hint. This guy had a specific ministry to the Gentiles. He preached the coming of the Lord. He used a term that we know in Greek, Maranatha. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. He too did not die. He never died. He was in fact raptured from the earth. This is my opinion. Could be wrong. Who cares? Elijah's got to come back, I believe, according to Scripture clearly. I think this other guy is Enoch. Enoch never died. Elijah never died. Enoch preached to the Gentile world. Elijah to the Jewish world. What is going on during the tribulation? Judgment and events. And by the way, they can call down judgment. They can do anything they want for a space of 3.5 years. They can, and they will cause the earth to not receive any rain. The earth is going to dry up. We read that in previous chapters. Chapter 8. Remember, this is a parenthetical insert. What took place in chapter 8 is being recapped in Revelation chapter 11. These prophets will be ministering during that time. These two prophets will have tremendous power given to them by God, and they will exercise this supernatural power. And listen, we end with this. If anyone, verse 5, wants to harm them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours them. I'm sorry, but that's kind of cool. Hey, we don't like what you guys are saying. Can you imagine when you start to see these guys yawn? Duck! Duck! Just, you say, Jack, I can't believe that's going to happen. People would freak. You got to understand something. Prior and simultaneously, there's going to be such demonic powers on the earth that there's going to be also horrific demonic activity as well. So that when they see fire come out of their mouths, the world's going to be so demonized that the supernatural will be so prevalent that it's going to fit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called God's Final Witness to the World. It's taken from Revelation chapter 11. In fact, this is another one of our mini-series as we journey through the book of Revelation. That means there's a lot more to come, so join us on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we continue. Meanwhile, we invite you to get in touch and let us know how Real Radio is affecting your life. You can either call, click, or write, whichever you prefer. If you'd like to do it online, simply visit www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click where it says Send Us a Message. You can also read other people's encouraging messages to us. Simply click the tab that says Reaction. That's www.realradioactive.org. Or you can send us a letter to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is 909-393-7100. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.